Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is very dear to the sons of King Pandu, has accepted me as one of those relatives just to please his great cousins and brothers. Purport. A pure and exclusive devotee of the Lord serves his family interest more dexterously than others who are attached to illusory family affairs. Generally, people are attached to family matters, and the whole economic impetus of human society is moving under the influence of family affection. Such deluded persons have no information that one can render better service to the family by becoming a devotee of the Lord. The Lord gives special protection to the family members and descendants of a devotee, but even though such members are themselves non-devotees. Maharaj Prahlad was a great devotee of the Lord, but his father, Hiranyakashipu, was a great atheist and declared enemy of the Lord. But despite all this, Hiranyakashipu was awarded salvation due to his being the father of Maharaj Prahlad. The Lord is so kind that he gives all protection to the family members of his devotee, and thus the devotee has no need to bother about his family members, even if one leaves such family members aside to discharge devotional service. Maharaj Yudhishthira and his brothers were the sons of Kunti, the paternal aunt of Lord Krishna, and Maharaj Parikshit admits the patronage of Lord Krishna because of his being the only grandson of the great Pandavas. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare. Okay, so it's a very it's an honor to be here speaking to the Bhaktivedanta Manor devotees again. Hopefully I can say something useful and something spiritual. And for that, I need the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So all the Vaishnavas assembled online, on site at the manor, and all the devotees from the past and from the future of the Hare Krishna movement. Thank you. Please give me a blessing so I can say something useful. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha. Hare Krishna. So this is a very special chapter. In this chapter, Maharaj Parikshit meets Sukadeva Goswami. He's accepted his curse, being a great Vaishnava, and he's went to the banks of the river, and there he's starting to have this conversation with the sages. And at that time, Sukadeva Goswami arrives on the scene. And this is a part where he's expressing his views to Sukadeva Goswami. And he's feeling very fortunate. He's feeling very fortunate that the Lord has accepted him as part of the family, especially in the family of devotees, because he considers the Pandavas were some of the greatest devotees of the Lord, which they were, because Krishna personally helped them and became their relative and was there at all times helping the Pandavas. So Maharaj Parikshit is feeling very grateful, and on this Srila Prabhupada writes a very, very interesting purport, some very exciting things in there, a little bit controversial as well, which I do like, because anything that is a little bit controversial gets people's attention, and it opens up a whole new ground for discussion. So it's not really controversial, but it's interesting. So let's talk about that a little bit. I'll try and share what I know on this subject matter. Obviously, I'm not the best, but you know, if you have any comments and questions, then we can discuss them later on. Now, There's a very, very, there's a few very, very interesting points in the purport. One of the points is that Srila Prabhupada says that a pure devotee serves his family interests better than those attached to illusory family affairs. So Srila Prabhupada is almost saying that somebody who takes a devotional service can actually serve his family better than somebody who is just fully focused and dedicated on looking after that family. How is this possible? You may think it sounds counterintuitive. How can it happen that when you go away from family, you can serve your family better? Now, there's different explanations for this. One of the explanations is that a materialist is actually alone. Okay, a materialist wants to be the controller. He wants to be the proprietor, and he wants to be in charge of the family. Okay. And that means he should also be the one responsible for the family. And the thing is, human beings are limited. We can only do so much. If a person wants a little bit of money, he has to work very, very hard for hours and hours in a factory, like Prabhupada said, manufacturing nuts and bolts or doing whatever he's doing. A person has to work very hard. And again, there is a family, there are children. If there is a family, then there's a house. There's a house, then there are cars. We don't have animals so much anymore. Bulls and, we do have animals actually. We do have dogs and cats, but not so much bulls and cows and goats and oxen. It's more like cars who are vehicles now. So one has to like work really, really hard to look after the family. But the problem is that he is limited and he can only do so much. But if a devotee takes shelter of Krishna, then he becomes Krishna's responsibility, because Krishna says, I look after my devotees. And because he becomes Krishna's responsibility, his whole family also becomes Krishna's responsibility. So who can look after your family better than Krishna? Krishna is the ultimate and Krishna is unlimited. So Krishna can do what you could never do for your family. Like if you go all out, try your best, you couldn't do even a fraction of what Krishna can do for your family. And hence, the family interest is served better by the devotee. Isn't it? It makes sense. Now, this example is also shown in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So once Lord Chaitanya was visiting Srivas Thakur, and very famous example, I'm sure you all heard the story. And he tells Srivas Thakur, he says, how is it that I never see you doing any work? You're always doing kirtan, you're always with the devotees, you're always practicing devotional service. What do you do to look after your family? I mean, how are they all fed? How are they looked after? And Srivas Pandit says, he just claps three times. Three claps. And then Lord Chaitanya goes, well, why are you clapping? Because I asked you a question. What's all the clapping about? He says, Srivas Pandit says, he goes, if I clap three times and my family is not taken care of, he goes, then I will fast and I'll tie a water pot to my neck and throw myself in the Ganges and commit suicide. So why would you do that? His point was that because, you know, there's only so much I can do for my family. I want to be fully dedicated in Krishna's service, do kirtan, follow Lord Chaitanya. And it is Krishna's responsibility to look after me and my family because I've joined his family. So he has so much faith and Lord Chaitanya is impressed and he's very happy. And he tells Srivas Thakur, he tells him, even if the goddess of fortune becomes poverty stricken, okay, goddess of fortune who has all the opulences in the world, even if she becomes poverty stricken, he says, Srivas Thakur, your house will never know poverty. And that's all Srivas Thakur did. He just worshipped Lord Krishna. He took part in the Sankirtan movement. He was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. That's all he ever did. And his family was well looked after. How did it happen? I don't know. It happened. Okay, it happened. He survived. He did very well. And we read about him all over the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he did well, didn't he? But he had the faith. Okay, he had that implicit faith in Lord Chaitanya. I'm not sure we do. Okay. And, you know, it's this sort of dependence of Krishna has to come from devotion. It has to come from within. It has to come from that faith we have developed. We can't just say, right, okay, the philosophy says that if you clap three times, I'll have food on my table. Okay, there's nothing here. What happened? Okay, it doesn't work like that. Krishna can look after your family better, but you have to have that implicit faith and connection, which we will also talk about. I was, a while ago, I met a devotee, and he usually does my glasses, Umapati Prabhu, from Vishal's opticians. We all know Vishal Prabhu does so many services for the Vaishnavas. So he told me, he goes, Radha Govinda Prabhu, he said, I haven't seen you in like 2 years. You used to come every 2 years to get your eyes checked, to get new glasses, to get new frames. And I haven't seen you in 2 years. You need to come for an eye test. I'm like, Prabhu, you know, I'm a poor grihastha now. I'm not a rich brahmachari. When I was a brahmachari, Krishna was looking after me, so I was rich. But now I'm just a poor grihastha. I clap three times, you know, same glasses, same, nothing changed. I can't afford to spend anymore. So, you know, Krishna, when you're with Krishna, you're well looked after. You know, I heard while I was away, I used to be a brahmachari there as well. And we used to have like a feast every other day. People like devotees. And I'm sure I've heard from all of you guys as well how you're feasting and enjoying life in the brahmachari ashram. Of course, you're all doing lots of services as well. But at the same time, because you're so dedicated, Krishna is looking after you well. If you were living outside, I don't know if you'd be having feasts every day. I sometimes invite devotees I'm cultivating when I used to live in the ashram. I invite them up to the prasadam room to take prasadam with us sometimes. And I invited this one devotee, Chris. So he came up and I think it was a festival. And he packed this plate up, okay, with all these, like, I think there were like 8 different items or something, and 3 different sweets and 6 different types of mahaprasadam. There was a lot of stuff, and he was just eating it. And he told me, he goes, apart from all the spiritual benefit that you get by having mahaprasadam and being at the temple, getting the prasadam and all that, he said, you know how much a feast like this would cost you in a restaurant? If you go to a restaurant and have order a feast like that, first of all, nobody makes stuff like that. Okay, it's only the devotees. You can't get a feast like that anywhere in any restaurant around the world. It's only at Bhaktivedanta Manor, Bhaktivedanta Manor Ki Jai. No one does feasts like we do. Or in any other ISKCON temple, of course, you can get a good feast. Not like the manor though, but you can still get a good feast. But if you go to any restaurant, you can't get it. He was saying a feast like this, if you go outside, it would cost at least 40 or 50 pounds. It was spending so much money. And we're just like having feasts like this, you know, 3 days a week sometimes. At least I was when I was in the ashram. Now I'm eating roasted potatoes every day and, you know, boiled cauliflower and, you know, stir-fried broccoli. So if you're in Krishna's family, you're looked after very well. But if you're on your own, you can still look after your family, but not as well. So this is the explanation why it is good to be part of Krishna's family. Now, here's another interesting thing. Here's another angle to it, that for a non-devotee, his family is the whole world, okay? All he cares about is his family, right? But for a devotee, the whole world is his family. It's the other way around, okay? When a devotee joins Krishna's family, everybody is Krishna's children, and he sees the super soul in everyone's heart. There is a reason we call people God brothers and God sisters, because we're all part of the same family, okay? Because we all join Krishna's family, and Krishna's family is unlimited. So a devotee is part of that big family, and Krishna is the dad, okay? Krishna, you know, his ultimate dad, who looks after all his children, and he can afford, okay, he can afford to look after everybody. But for a non-devotee, his family is everything, okay? That's all they ever think of. If you go into the world out there, now that you're all stuck, I was in there for like 12 years, but now I'm out there. So when you go out there, you may notice that there is so much emphasis on family, okay? People don't care what happens to the world. As long as their family is safe, they're okay. Okay. When I left the ashram last year, as you do, you kind of get into a little bit of Maya. So unfortunately, my Maya wasn't, well, fortunately, my Maya wasn't that bad. It was pretty much Netflix and Disney Plus. Wasn't so much, one or two movies a week. So I watched a few movies here and there. I'm not giving you ideas, but some of the, it was actually quite disappointing, to be honest, but that's another side note. But if you look at all these movies out there, it's like there is an apocalypse coming, and you know, it's like a doomsday movie or a, you know, dystopian movie where everything, the whole world is ended, or aliens are attacking the planet and everything's coming to an end. But the main character, you know, he doesn't care. All he cares about is, how can I keep my family safe? Okay, I don't care if the aliens destroy half a continent, okay, but I just want to take my family to a safe place, you know, forget the aliens and forget the continent. There's so much emphasis on family, and it's actually very much applauded. Everybody's like, wow, that's amazing, man, you're working so hard for your family. Now, everybody looks after their family. It's not a new thing, okay? Everyone is really attached to family, everybody. Okay, if you look at the animal species, part of what I watched when I was outside was also wildlife documentaries. Whatever I do, I try to use it in Krishna's service. Now, did you know elephants live in big families? And elephants are actually one of the few animals who have sort of like a matriarchal sort of colony. So the mother is in charge, not the dad. In elephants, the father goes away. He's kind of solitary. He takes vanaprastha, like literally vanaprastha, because they're in the forest. But the mother, she looks after her family, the children, brothers, sisters, you know, whoever, the whole gang, about 10 to 12 elephants. They hunt together, they eat together, they sleep together, and they'll even sacrifice themselves to protect their whole family. Elephants do it. Even lions do it. Okay, lions, actually, when they get older, okay, their teeth fall out. Just like human beings, our teeth fall out as well when we get older. So it happens for the king of the jungle as well. The lions, their teeth also falls out. Then they're not king anymore. But the younger lions will actually share the food with them, because the big lions shared food with them when they were younger. So they understand that and they share the food with them. Penguins mate for life, and in the Antarctic, and they look after the family. Once the mother's given birth, the father hatches the eggs. Okay, the mother goes to find food to the towards the sea, which is about 50 miles away. So that's a lot of miles, especially when you walk like a penguin. It takes, like, it's not just days; it takes weeks and months for the mother penguin to actually go to the sea, catch a few fish. And then the thing is, you don't have hands, you don't have a rucksack if you're a penguin. What do you do? Where do you keep the fish? So what she does is she eats it, and then she walks back all the way. And all this time, the father penguin's looking after the babies. And then she comes, and then she regurgitates everything. So basically, she throws everything up, and then the baby penguins eat it. But they go through all that effort just to look after the penguins. Family affection, the animals. Seahorses, did you know in seahorses, here's something interesting. It's actually, they're the only species where the male gets pregnant. Okay? And the male gives birth to like 1,000 seahorses at a time. And he tries to look after them all. It's very strong. Even amongst demigods, family affection is strong. Okay? We see examples in the Bhagavatam, Indra. Okay? We see example of Mother Sati, and, you know, going to Daksha Prajapati's house. And you look at the whole demigod, the higher planetary systems, it's their family affection. Even amongst demons, there's family affection. Ravana, we read about the story in the Ramayana, where Ravana was also very attached to his brothers and his children, and everybody is everywhere, all over the universe, family affection is there. And why is it there? Do you know why it's there? Do you know why Krishna created family affection, or Brahma created family affection? You know why? Because we wanted it. Now you may say, how can I want it? I didn't want it. Well, because one day we saw Krishna being in charge of the universe, and we thought, well, wonder why Krishna has to be in charge of the universe. Why can't I be in charge of the universe? I want a universe too. And all of us who are here, we all thought of the same thing. But Krishna is a smart guy. He's the smartest guy we ever know. So Krishna said, right, I give you all a universe to be in charge of. And what is this universe? Ta-da! Enter. Coming attachment. So everyone gets a universe to look after. Okay? And that universe is called the family. So Krishna has given everybody a universe. Okay? And in that universe, everybody thinks they're in charge in a family. The father thinks he's in charge because he's getting the money. He's looking after the family and he thinks everybody's listening to him. But, you know, who's really in charge? The mother thinks she's in charge, actually, you know, and she knows, you know, that because of affection, the husband will do whatever the wife wants. Okay? So she thinks she's in charge, but actually who's in charge? It's actually the children who are in charge, because the children think, you know, the parents will do whatever, you know, they want. Everybody in the family thinks they're in charge. Everybody's happy. Everyone's got the universe. But this family affection is there to keep everybody, you know, attached. Okay, it needs to be there because it was our desire. Okay. Interestingly, Prabhupada says in the purport that the whole economy is working because of family affection. And you think about it, like, how is the economy working because of family affection? And it makes sense. If people didn't have family affection, nobody would bother getting a job. Okay? Why would you want to go and work in a place which you don't like? It is said that in England, okay, more than 60% of people, and I'm sure that's a very under generous estimation, more than 60% of people don't like the jobs. They feel like they're stuck. Okay. Why would somebody spend the majority of their life working in a job they don't like? Because of family affection. Okay. So because of this family affection, we're willing to do so much working outside, and it keeps the economy going. If there was no family affection, okay, nobody would need any money and hence the economy wouldn't work. And there's examples in Shastra about this. First time Brahma created somebody, he didn't create family affection. Who did he create? He created the four Kumaras, the first beings in the universe that Brahma created. And what did the four Kumaras do? They're like, nah, I can't be bothered. You know, I'm not doing this whole family thing. We're being renunciates. We're self-realized. We want to be self-realized, whatever the case. And we're off. Brahma, see you later. And Brahma, of course, got angry and they just left. No family affection. In fact, forget family affections. They didn't need any money because they had no family affection. And they didn't even need clothes. Okay. They just full renunciates. Okay. Straight away. And then there's Sukadeva Goswami. He didn't want family, renounced. We know the story how when Sukadeva Goswami, he didn't even want to come out of his mother's womb. He stayed there for 16 years. And then he came out. 16-year-old boy. And that's why we say Sukadeva Goswami was a 16-year-old boy, but he was still innocent as a child because he just spent the 16 years in his mother's womb. And then he comes out and then he goes, Haribol dad, Haribol mom, thanks for whatever you did, but I'm off now. And then he goes and Vyasadeva starts chasing him. Vyasadeva, out of family affection, he starts chasing him, but Sukadeva Goswami doesn't even turn back. Again, no family affection, economy doesn't work, he doesn't need to work, okay, no money, again, somehow, no clothes. It seems to be like a theme here. You don't need, if you don't have family affections, you don't need money, you don't need clothes. So he also walked away, okay. More examples like that. There's so many in the Bhagavatam. Rishabdev, okay, when he left his family, okay, he also became a renunciate, again, no money, no clothes for some reason. So if you don't have family affection, it doesn't work. Economy doesn't work. So Prabhupada is saying the whole world goes around, animal kingdom, human kingdom, demigods, demons, everywhere because of family affection. Okay, it's very, very, now there's some benefits as well to family affection. If you want to keep society running without chaos, okay, you need family affection. Plus side, it does keep the economy running, whatever it may be. If there was no family affection, nobody would go to work. How would things get done? Okay. So there is a positive side to it. If there was no family affection, people wouldn't even cooperate with each other. Okay. People only behave because they want the family to be safe. If there was no family affection, nobody would cooperate. There would be just like indiscriminate mixing. There would be chaos everywhere. Okay, people wouldn't care to work with each other. So there is family affection. There's some positives to it. It keeps society moving. But if one has this family affection for Krishna's family, which is actually our real family, okay? A devotee has joined Krishna's family. So if one develops this family affection for Krishna's family, then that's the success of life. We can't get rid of family attachment. Okay, that's not the point. The point being made here is not that. It's instilled in us by Brahma from the beginning of creation. This family affection is there. It's part of us. But we just have to somehow redirect it, what Prabhupada said, dovetail it for Krishna's family. And we're all, ISKCON is one big family. ISKCON is actually such an amazing family. I've never seen this anywhere else. Whatever things we may say about ISKCON or this organization, that organization, this thing's wrong, that thing's wrong, too bureaucratic or whatever it may be. I've never seen any organization that looks after its people as much as ISKCON does, as the Hare Krishna movement does. You know, I've seen a few years ago there was, you know, when devotees get sick, I don't want to go into specific examples. I was going to give you some, but when devotees get sick, everybody prays for them. Okay, the whole world is praying for them. Where do you see somebody praying for someone in which religious community, spiritual community, or non-religious community, where everybody's praying for somebody, the whole world unites to pray for somebody when they're sick? Just like when our Janakinath Prabhu, when he was sick, everybody was concerned, and not just at the manor and people who served with him, but news were everywhere. Okay, devotees come together. I've never seen such strong family bond, Krishna's family bond, as within ISKCON. And this is good. This is good. This is what we are trying to develop. Family affection for Krishna's family. And because of this, a devotee looks after not just his family, but the entire Krishna's family. When a devotee thinks, a devotee is not narrow-minded, so he doesn't just think, my family, my wife, my children, okay, just six of us, four of us, whatever it may be. Just a devotee thinks about the whole family, and that's why his way, a devotee's way of expressing family affection, is preaching, is sharing Krishna consciousness. This sharing Krishna consciousness with the whole world is a devotee's way of expressing his family affection, because the whole world is his family, and he knows that the best thing for people is to take up Krishna consciousness. So it is a very good way to dovetail one's family affection for Krishna consciousness. And hence, if you are serious about family, then you will become a devotee. Okay. And Krishna, the interesting point is, even if your family is not a devotee, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, even if your family is not a devotee, Krishna will look after them. Interesting, isn't it? Prabhupada writes that in the purport. Even if the family is non-devotee, Krishna will still protect them. Krishna will still look after them. And he gives the example of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj in the purport, that when Prahlad Maharaj asked Narsingadev to save his father, to forgive his father and to protect his father, Narsingadev said, he goes, don't worry. He goes, not just him, but so many generations of your family, they're all liberated just because you are a devotee. He goes, you don't even need to ask. I've already done it. Because you are such a good devotee, it is my responsibility to look after your family, and not just your immediate family, but generations going back. Okay, so Krishna looks after all of them, generations going back. So you have no idea how much of a service you are doing to the whole world, and to your own family, and to your ancestors, and to your future generations, just by practicing devotional service and picking up your bead bag and chanting every day. Okay. That is huge service in itself. Like it's big preaching. You're liberating generations and generations of people just by being a devotee. So stay a devotee. Okay. There may be problems, but it's not like you won't have problems if you go away from Krishna consciousness, there will always be problems. But stay a devotee, whatever you do, stay a devotee, and Krishna will look after you, and it's a big service for you to your whole family lineage and anybody who's connected with you. Okay, and not just past generation, Krishna even looks after future generations. In the purport where of Bali Maharaj, where that story of Bali Maharaj is there in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes that Vamanadev was merciful to Bali Maharaj because of his connection to Prahlad Maharaj. He was Prahlad Maharaj's grandson. Okay? Now, Bali Maharaj, in his own right, he is an amazing devotee. He's one of the Mahajans. But Srila Prabhupada writes that, actually, I'm not even sure, it may even be in the verse itself, that Vamanadev was merciful to Bali Maharaj because of his connection to Prahlad. I didn't know that. But that's very interesting. Prahlad had his influence everywhere. Okay, he had influence in the past, influence in the future, and he still has influence now. We're reading about him, okay, and we understand how Prahlad Maharaj is such an amazing devotee and is such an inspiration for all of us. And he keeps us on the ball, okay? He keeps us focused in Krishna consciousness. We have a play about him every year, okay? We read about him everywhere. So even though that was thousands of years ago, so imagine that the influence that a devotee has. Srila Prabhupada as well, 50 years ago, all these amazing Vaishnava acharyas spread over hundreds and hundreds of years and thousands of years, literally. They all have such a huge influence, and that's what makes our parampara, our connection to Krishna, strong. Okay, it's a strong parampara, it's a strong connection, and connections are important. Okay, connections are important because the right connections can make anything happen. If you want to meet the queen, what do? You write to the queen, she probably won't even check your email. And her secretary will most likely ignore it. But if you know somebody who's connected to the queen, then you can easily arrange an appointment and meet the queen. Srila Prabhupada used this example. Why? Because of connection. Okay, this connection is very, very important. In the same way, even for us, in our practice of Krishna consciousness, connections are very, very important. And especially our connection with the guru, our connection with Srila Prabhupada. And these two things are very important. And Prabhupada even made it clear in the early days. We know the famous story where Prabhupada was telling people how Krishna conscious they should be to make it back to the spiritual world at the end of this lifetime. And devotees were disappointed. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Don't worry." He goes, "I have the backdoor key." He goes, "Even if you are not fully Krishna conscious," he goes, "I will take you. Okay, I will take you back to Godhead." Why? Connection. Okay, because if we stay connected to Srila Prabhupada, then we can go back to Godhead. We can go join Krishna's family in the spiritual world. We're already part of Krishna's family in this world, which is an amazing achievement in itself. But you can even be part of Krishna's family in the spiritual world, but that connection must be there. We should understand, we shouldn't see as me, my service, my friends, my temple, my preaching zone, my city, your city, not like that. We should see the whole world as Krishna's family. All devotees are part of the same family, and we should try and be nice to them, try and help them. And I'm not just saying this, but I actually saw this in His Grace Janakinath Prabhu. You know, one thing I can say, today is his funeral. He was an amazing devotee. And I'm sure some of you may have met him even briefly. Okay, but there was nobody that Janakinath made feel upset or feel angry or feel like they weren't connected. Everybody, even if they had such a small interaction with Janakinath Prabhu, it would leave like a lasting impression. And there's one thing I can say for Janakinath Prabhu for sure, because I spent a lot of time with him. We did services together, and it is a big loss for us. But Janakinath Prabhu, I can tell you one thing for sure, from all my interactions with him, from all I've seen him do, all the services I've seen him do, one thing I can tell you is that man, okay, he had no lust. He had no envy, and he had no greed or anger. I can confidently tell you that. I've never met anybody, okay, I can't say this for anybody else, but for Janakinath, I can tell you that person, that devotee, he had no lust or envy, okay? You couldn't talk to him about some other devotee, anything wrong about some other devotee. As devotees, we try our best, but sometimes we fall into the trap of prajalpa, we all do prajalpa, and then at the end we go, anyway, you know, he's a devotee, he's trying. That's kind of our way of making up for it. You know, we say bad things about a devotee for 20 minutes, and then we go, anyway, he's trying. But you couldn't do that with Janakinath. I remember sometimes I would get into it, you know, oh, that guy, you know, he's trying to do this, that. And he'd always tell me, like, no, are you sure? Like, maybe it was you. Maybe because you were doing it like that, that's why he did that. Do you want to think about it? He would catch you straight away. You couldn't, and you'd never hear him talking anything bad about anybody. No lust, no greed, no envy. He was an amazing devotee. And that's why even though we all miss him so much, I'm not worried about him, because I know I could never be more sure for anybody else that Krishna is looking after him. Okay, there is no way that Krishna can't look after him. He took the whole world as a family, and he did his service in that way. He was always trying. I don't want to make this a tributes thing as a Bhagavatam class, but one last thing I'll say and then I'll carry on, which is actually my biggest inspiration, one of my biggest inspirations in Krishna consciousness, is that when he had his first surgery after he had cancer, we went to see him. I think it was myself, Kanaya, and Sutapa Prabhu. I think three of us. I don't know if there may have been somebody else. Three of us. We went to see him at the hospital, and he was high on morphine, and he was very happy. And what happened at that time? He was telling us how the people in the hospital are so amazing, he was on morphine, so he was just kind of whispering everything. You can't keep anything in your head. It kind of comes out. Okay, so he was like, he started whispering to us. He goes, there's so many amazing people here. He goes, I've been taking everybody's email and phone number. I'm making a collection. And then, you know, he's just had his surgery, you know, and he just pulls out his list. And he goes, look, I've got everybody's number. He goes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a retreat with them when I'm out of here in like just a few days. And I'll get more numbers and we'll do a retreat. And he was out in a few days after his surgery, and this is a guy who's just had his first surgery in cancer. It was a big shock to him, to the family, to the community, and he's just aloof. And he did do a retreat, and there were about 50 people from the NHS, all nurses and doctors, who came to the manor, and he did a whole retreat with them about Krishna consciousness. Even when he was there, not knowing what would happen during the surgery, he was thinking about how we can share Krishna consciousness. So the point is, no place is a bad place to share Krishna consciousness, or a difficult place. If you have the right mindset, if you have the right desire, you can share Krishna consciousness anywhere. Okay, you can even share Krishna consciousness in hell, Prabhupada said. You know, it doesn't matter where Lord Chaitanya sends you, you can share Krishna consciousness. So a devotee is always thinking like that. How can I share Krishna consciousness with the world? Why? Because of family affection, but not family affection for his own family, but family affection for Krishna's family, because everybody is part of Krishna's family, and especially devotees. So I just wanted to say this verse is all about family affection, but we should understand that Krishna's family is our original, real family, and we should really look after our Krishna family, because Krishna will really appreciate it, and Krishna will obviously like it if his brothers and sisters, if his children, his brothers and sisters are cooperating and working towards a common mission. And that's why Srila Prabhupada said that your love for me will be tested based on how you cooperate after I'm gone. So we're all part of one family, so let's cooperate, and if we're together, then we can share Krishna consciousness with the whole world. Okay. Now, an interesting thing Srila Prabhupada writes, I'll speak for about 5 minutes and then we'll take questions. Interesting thing Prabhupada writes is that A devotee has no need to bother about family. Okay. That's very, it's like almost he's saying like, don't worry about your family. It's okay. Okay, no need to bother. Now, it may sound like not a very nice thing to do, but because of the points I've just explained, we should have implicit faith that Krishna will look after our family. Now, don't bother about family doesn't mean that you just say, oh, I don't care about family, and then just leave. You know, what you want to do. But don't bother about family comes in different ways based on which ashram you're in. So don't bother about family has to be seen with respect to the vanashram system, to whichever ashram you're based in. If you're a brahmachari, then obviously you're younger, and then, you know, you don't, Krishna will look after everybody, but your family here is Krishna's family, and your dedication will be for the temple and for serving Krishna consciousness, and that's the case. Now, don't bother about family for a grihastha doesn't mean that, you know, he just claps his hand three times. Okay, if he has that implicit faith, and if he does clap his hand three times, it will happen. Okay, Krishna will look after you, but it doesn't mean, it's not an excuse to like not do anything in family and be irresponsible. But the point is that one should look after the family because it's a responsibility, but at the same time, bother. Okay, bother means your state of mind. Okay, what are you bothering about? Okay, your focus should be serving Krishna's family. Our focus should always be, our mental energy should always be spent in how we can share Krishna consciousness, how we can be with Krishna's family, how we can better ourselves in Krishna consciousness. We can do the externals, okay? We can look after our family, and we should. But, you know, our mental energy, your focus should always be, how can we take care of Krishna's family and how can we share Krishna consciousness? In Vanaprastha, don't bother about family, takes a different approach. As sannyas, don't bother about family, takes a different approach. So it's not a bad thing to say. Prabhupada is saying, if you look after Krishna's family, Krishna will look after your family, and Krishna will look after everybody's family, okay? Like that. So we should always learn how to put Krishna first and Krishna's family first. So that is sort of what I got from this this sort of purport and this explanation. Now, I'm sure there are some questions bubbling up, because it is very family orientated, and there may be some questions. So let's see if there are any questions. Anybody?
Hare Gopal Prabhu, thank you so much for your class. I'd just like to revise a bit on what you spoke in the beginning. You gave us, you spoke on the story of Srivas Thakur and his unflinching faith to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, how he used to clap his hand, and in this way, all his family would be provided for. So we can take inspiration from that to imbibe that in our lives. And you also share a bit of your personal story in changing ashrams and the contrast from brahmachari to grihastha. You seem that grihastha life is quite austere, quite renunciate. And you're also sharing how this family affection is present in all the levels of creation, in the animal kingdom, in the heavenly planets. Also demigods are attached to family, and also the demons. And you follow this by giving us many examples from Srimad Bhagavatam, like the sons of Daksha who were educated by Narada Muni and left to the renounced order of life. And this was helpful to explain how this family affection is so important to maintain society and maintain creation. Otherwise, nothing would, we would just all renounce life and go back to Godhead. So without family affection, we could not maintain this creation. And at the end, in this kind of a second part, we can say, you spoke about the importance of connection to Guru and to Prabhupada, and also you mentioned to us a lot of beautiful qualities of our beloved Janakinath, who just left the world. So thank you for all of this. For the moment, there's no questions on the chat, but I have a question regarding to this example you gave of Srivas Thakur. And how do we as conditioned souls develop that trust, that faith on the Lord's mercy, on the Lord's care? How can we experience that or make that substantial?
Yeah. So faith develops in many ways. Okay. It is explained that the best way to develop faith, faith is a bit like the coronavirus. Okay. If you're within a 2 meter distance, then you'll get infected. Okay. That's what faith is like. But it's a good coronavirus. So it is said that the way to develop faith is association with devotees who have that implicit faith. Association is the key to develop faith. That is why if you look at the way of the 9 stages of development, the Shraddha, then the Sadhu Sangha. So you may have a little bit of faith in the beginning, that Shraddha, your initial faith. Okay, your initial faith that is enough for you to come and keep practicing Krishna consciousness. But Sadhu Sangha, the next stage, is where your faith becomes stronger by association with devotees and being with devotees who you see have dedicated their life to Krishna consciousness. By being with these devotees, you will get faith. Faith is infectious. It's like emotional contagion. If you're hanging around people who are happy all the time, you'll be happy. If you're hanging around people who are miserable all the time, you'll be miserable. If you're hanging around people who have that implicit faith in Krishna consciousness, you will also have that faith. It will develop, okay? Another way faith develops is also by understanding, by knowledge, by reading all these examples of how Krishna always protects his devotees, doesn't matter what happens. That's another way to develop faith. Another way to develop faith is from your own experience, okay? You will see from your own experience how Krishna looks after you, okay? And I shared some examples, but I'm sure everybody has their own examples where they have seen that by coming to Krishna consciousness, how their life has become better. Okay? How they have had experiences or interactions with Krishna. May not be the deity talking back to you, but in one way or another, Krishna reciprocates with you. And like this, you develop faith. And another way you develop faith is by sticking around. Okay. If you stick around, the more time you spend with the devotees, the more time you spend practicing Krishna consciousness, the more experiences you have, the longer you are around, faith will develop. So these are all the different ways in which we can develop faith in Krishna consciousness.
So as we still have some time, I would ask a question to develop a bit that more on the first point you said about association.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, I don't know if anybody from the temple room has any questions.
Yes, definitely.
So, not for the moment.
Okay. Haribol, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Haribol, can I speak?
Yes, please, Prabhu.
Yes.
It reminds me of when you were talking about the Grihastha life.
Yeah.
There's a very nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It's 9:27. Yat karoshi yadasni yat tapasyasi. He says, basically, he says in that verse that whatever you do, do it for me. And so it occurs that actually he's saying that actually you should treat it as service. And actually, service is our real shelter, isn't it? At the end of the day, that's what occurs to me, that actually service is your protection. And so he's saying, look, if you do everything for me as service, you're protected anyway. Yeah, I don't know if that is sort of, I can see what's happened to you in your new life.
Yeah.
You're trying to treat it as service.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Prayojan Prabhu. That's a very, very good point. Yeah, service is one of the most important things that keeps us connected to Krishna consciousness, and service is what gives us faith in Krishna consciousness. So thank you for explaining that, Prayojan Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dhamma Pranam. Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice class.
Thank you.
My question is, like, when you start taking the whole world as your family, you start giving people, you know, love from your heart. And then sometimes what happens is if you take the whole world for a family, you can get hurt. So how do you, you know, rationalize that you don't get so emotionally attached, because you can get hurt and that can also take you away from Krishna sometimes. So how do you, like, serve knowing that the whole world is your family and it's a great opportunity Krishna has given you? But sometimes it's difficult because we're human and, you know, we can get hurt.
Yeah.
How do we protect ourselves then?
Yeah, so thank you, Harika Mataji, for, it's a very good question, I hadn't thought of that. But while you're speaking, just a few things come to mind. I see that there is a difference between two things, affection and attachment, okay? And these are two slightly different words. Affection means something that you give, and attachment is something that you're expecting in return for that affection. So it is when you see the world as family, your affection for Krishna's family means that you're trying to give and you're trying to serve, like Prayojan Prabhu is saying. We're trying to share Krishna consciousness, and it's sort of unconditional, and it's sort of as a service, and it's sort of a love that's coming out. Okay, it's something you're trying to do. At the same time, we shouldn't be too much expectant that somebody else will behave with you in the same way. And there may be many reasons for that, okay? Everybody has a different mood, okay? Everybody has a different way of expressing themselves. Everybody has a different nature. Some people may not be so expressive as you may be, for example. And even though they may have that affection in the heart for you, they may not be able to express it because that's just not the nature. Okay? So sometimes we may get hurt like that, but that doesn't mean that they don't have that same feeling. It just means that, and we're talking about unconditional love here. We're talking about spiritual love. So they may not be able to express it in the same way. Secondly, there may also be certain restrictions based on society. Okay? Like, for example, we have brahmacharis, it doesn't mean, sometimes it is seen that brahmacharis may be really hard-hearted and brahmacharis may be really, like, you know, renounced, or like they don't care about anybody. And it's not really the case. I think brahmacharis, I don't know. I mean, again, like I said, everybody's different nature. But again, brahmacharis also have these feelings. But because of the ashram they're in, they're not allowed to express so much, and they're allowed to externally behave in a certain way to keep order in society. So again, we may not get that reciprocation, but again, we shouldn't expect it because it's like that. So this is just an example of brahmacharis, but, you know, in different places in society, it may work differently. And sometimes people may not have the same feeling towards us. Okay, it just may be the case. Sometimes we develop affection for somebody in our family and somebody else may not. And that's okay, because our love is unconditional. If they don't, that's okay, because it's not attachment. It's what we should focus on is affection. And ultimately, our affection is manifest for all these devotees because they have that connection to Krishna. One shouldn't have affection for non-devotees. Okay, one may have certain amount of sort of, I don't know what you would call it, I'm lacking a word for it, certain amount of care you may have to take of non-devotees, certain obligations you may have. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that one shouldn't have too much affection for non-devotees. Affection should be there for devotees, and it should be unconditional because of so many reasons. So we should rest assured, we should try not to be offended or hurt if devotees don't reciprocate in the same way, because it may be due to a variety of reasons. It may not be that, you know, you have affection and they don't, or they hate you or something like that. It may just be that circumstances may not be the right and people have different natures, like that. So I don't know if that helps, but that was my sort of best attempt at answering that question. Or maybe if I think of something later, I can I can share it later on. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you so much. I think somebody else is coming in the temple room.
Oh, is somebody saying something? Or
I'm checking if they want to say. Otherwise, I will ask a question in continuation of
Haribol. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the class. It's very eye-opening and interesting. I just had a question.
Yeah.
So what do we do when there's a conflict between our responsibilities for our family and our advancement and our interest in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah.
So for example, I feel quite guilty. I feel quite guilty that I'm staying here in the ashram and not helping out my family, for example. So how can I reconcile that in myself?
Well, what you do is you speak to your mentor, you speak to your guru, and discuss it. I can't give you a generic advice here because everybody's situation is different. So it wouldn't be fair for me to make a blanket statement about, you know, yeah, don't worry about your family. You know, your family will look after itself. Or say something like, yeah, you should go back to your family. So I can't make a blanket statement like that. But everybody's situation is different. Sometimes your family is capable of looking after, you know, your family is capable of being okay. Like in my case, when I joined the ashram, I stayed for like 10, 12 years. Before I joined the ashram, I made a contribution to my family because I was working outside. So I helped them buy a house and things like that in India, of course. So, and then for 10 years, I didn't really give them any money because I didn't have any. It's not that I didn't want to, I didn't have any. But I stayed in touch with them. And they were supported by other siblings in the family, and they were okay, and they were quite happy for me to carry on doing what I was doing. So that wasn't so much of a worry for me. But sometimes there may be a situation where some families do need more support, and I think with proper discussion with the family, with your mentors, and I'm sure something can be worked out. The thing is, one interesting thing that I sort of found in my sort of brahmachari ashram and grihastha ashram is that it's not that brahmachari life is easier or grihastha life is more difficult, or it's not that brahmachari life has a lot of austerity and grihastha life doesn't. I think it's just that your austerities just change. It's how you receive your austerities just changes. Ultimately, your karma is your karma, and it'll come and bite you whether you're in the brahmachari ashram or in the grihastha ashram. It'll just bite you in a different place. But the point is that you have to be where you're most comfortable and most spiritual. So decision for ashram is usually based on that. Where can you be most spiritual and most Krishna conscious, not where you can avoid the most amount of trouble. So sometimes it may be necessary. Sometimes it may not be. Sometimes you could get away. Prabhupada said that if you can stay a brahmachari, it's the best. Okay, so if you can stay there and if your family is happy with it, it's a really good situation. You're in a win-win situation there. But otherwise, I think it may just be take a meeting or a few meetings like that. You just need to meet with your seniors and discuss your sort of concerns on a personal level, and then I think things will be a bit more clear.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu, I think
right. Raghavind, Prabhu, thank you so much for your words. Time is coming to an end.